Arlen Specter is the longest-serving U.S. senator in Pennsylvania history, one of the most compelling political figures of the 20th and early 21st centuries. A lifelong Republican, he upset the apple cart when he switched to party affiliation in 2009 and became a Democrat. He talks about all of his ups and downs in office in his book, Life Among the Cannibals, A Political Career, A Tea Party Uprising, and the End of Governing as We Know It. Senator Arlen Specter, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate
it. Glad to be with you, Joe. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, it's lovely to have you here as a former Pennsylvanian. Give me a sense of who you feel the cannibals are.
The cannibals are the extremists on both sides. On the Democratic side, an outstanding senator like Joe Lieberman loses a Democratic primary. On the Republican side, you have the Tea Party. You find that a senator like Bob Bennett in Utah with a 93% conservative rating cast one vote they didn't like on the bailout and can't win a Republican primary. And what we have in Washington today is extremism in both parties, and the cannibals are devouring the senators. And the extremism has led to gridlock, and the public is suffering.
Some would argue that the public have been suffering in some way, shape, or form when it comes to governance for a long time. How has this taken it to the extreme?
Well, the public has suffered, but not like now. You have filibusters, you have a lot of vacancies in the federal court, justices not being done. You have important legislation pending on economic matters, putting people to work. You have a situation in Washington today where there is a gridlock. It is much worse. My book is unique in that I have the perspective of having been inside both the Republican and Democratic caucuses. And I can testify firsthand and do about the extremism. You have a situation where Senator Lisa Murkowski in Alaska was primaried by the Tea Party, led by a sitting senator, DeMint from South Carolina, Republican. And a cannibal is somebody who eats his young, eats his own. And they ate Lisa Murkowski. Senator Murkowski defeated her in a primary. She came back and won on a write-in vote in a move which is unprecedented in American political history. You know how hard it is to spell Murkowski? And if you spell it with a Y instead of an I, your ballot's thrown out, or an O instead of a U, your ballot is thrown out. But the ideas that I have, and go into great detail in the book, is that the American people can take back the center. And the Murkowski situation shows that if you inform the people and you motivate them, they'll come out to vote and throw the extremists out.
You talk in the book about how moderation and compromise are dirty words on Capitol Hill. How did that come to be, and why do you think that is so strongly the case?
Well, it is proved by the fact that the Tea Party candidates won a lot of seats in the House of Representatives in 2010, ran on a platform of no compromise. The Tea Party does not want the national debt raised. The Tea Party does not want to finance the National Institutes of Health, which made such great progress on fighting cancer. And if you don't take the Tea Party line, you'll be primary. They'll run somebody against you, as they are Dick Lugar in Indiana. They don't like what he does. So they get their power because in a primary, very few people vote. It's only the real zealots. People stayed up in the middle of the night on the Iowa caucuses. That's why Senator Santorum did so well, because he has extreme positions. And people fall in the line in Washington. They don't want to be defeated. Olympia Snowe just left the Senate. Big loss to the country with Olympia Snow leaving, and she left because she couldn't stand it and has challenges in her own re-election.
When you speak of Rick Santorum, he supported you in a tough primary, but he has said that certainly wasn't one of his prouder moments that he looks back on. How do you take comments like that?
Well, I think that Santorum finds it politically expedient to say that. I was listening to the debate on CNN, and Romney and Santorum made more a point of Arlen Specter. You'd have thought I was running for president. I did try for the Republican nomination in 1996. I've gotten more publicity in this presidential race than I got when I worked at it for almost a year and a half and traveled to more than 30 states. I thought it was really sort of ridiculous that they spent so much time on me instead of on the Ayatollah and Iran, or instead of unemployment, or Obama, their real opponent.
When having worked with them, having worked with him in the state of Pennsylvania, what do you make of his running for president? Because, I mean, you have said that you feel that he's not in the mainstream of American political thinking. Many would certainly agree with you on that. Here was a man who also lost in the state of Pennsylvania quite sizably. So what could he do for the nation that he was unable to do in Pennsylvania?
Well, when Pennsylvanians found out his views, they defeated him 59-41. He had an avalanche against him. He is a prodigious worker. He covered all of the counties in Iowa, and he was playing to an audience right up his line, the evangelical right. But when people have had a chance to get to know him, he's faded. He's against contraception. He believes women have no place in the workforce. He thinks in dealing with the issue of gay rights that it's man on dog, bestiality. He says John Kennedy's speech, separating church and state, that famous speech he made in 1960 in Houston, is wrong. Next, Santorum will be attacking Jefferson. But when Pennsylvania found out about him, they rejected him. And he's made a remarkable run. I'll give him credit for that. But as people find out about him, I think he'll continue to fade.
He certainly faded in Illinois, and many people thought that that was a turning point in the campaign. So do you believe that it will be Mitt Romney?
Well, it looks like it at the moment, but there have been so many ups and downs in the campaign, it's hard to say. Romney has tremendous problems on all of his changes in positions. His key aide said after the Illinois primary that there would be a restart button. Who knows what Romney's gonna say next? Bill Maher, I thought, had a funny line, and really an accurate, when he said that Romney has changed position more often than a pornographic movie star.
When it comes,
you can laugh, Joe. It's okay.
when you look at the president and you look at what they're saying about the president of the United States and the job that he's done over the past 4 years, would you vote for the president again? Do you think that he is worthy of a second term?
Well, it all depends on whom he's running against. If he's running against Santorum, it's an easy question. If he's running against a new Romney had some pretty good positions on health care and on choice and on education and on other matters. I'm a citizen Arlen Specter now. I've always been an independent, and I'm looking at both the candidates. I have expressed myself very forcefully in opposition to a great deal of what President Obama has done. For example, I spoke on the Senate floor against the deployment of 30,000 more troops in Afghanistan. I thought that was not the right thing to do. I disagreed and spoke out against the president's plan on the Senate floor again in 2010 when he wanted to extend the tax cuts. I'm going to see how the picture evolves before Citizen Arlen Specter decides whom to vote for.
If you had your druthers, would you not be a citizen?
No, I prize my citizenship very highly.
You wouldn't like to be back in the fray?
Back in the fray? Oh, well, I thought you were referring to giving up my citizenship.
No, I don't think you're going to Canada or anything. No, I meant as far as being in the public sector.
Well, Joe, when I look at what's going on in Washington, I'm candid to say I miss it. People ask me the question, and the conventional answer is there's life after the Senate. Well, my answer is I do miss it. I miss the opportunity to speak out on the public issues, but I continue to do that. In addition to my law practice, I've got a piece being published in the Washington Post about Obamacare and the failure of the Supreme Court justices to have a recusal policy. I'm trying to develop a series for public broadcasting television. Got a pilot which showed in Washington a few weeks ago on Citizens United. I had Evan Bayh and Fred Thompson, a couple of my colleagues, on. Going to be showing in Philadelphia in a week from Sunday. But I miss the opportunity to be deeply involved in public life. It's in my blood, and I haven't had a transfusion.
You talk about the Lisa Murkowski situation in Alaska and using her as an example of how an outsider can win, but you write in the book that the word extremism is no longer sufficiently extreme to describe what's going on. So even with the Murkowski example, is it something that you're optimistic about that can be fixed? Because it does seem like it does take a hell of a fight.
Am I optimistic? Well, it depends on how many people read my book, Joe. I'm very serious. I wrote that book for a purpose. I'm not interested in selling it, but I am having people read it. That's why I'm pushing it. I think you have to arouse the American people. Is that possible to do? Yes. Is it likely to happen? Probably not. But there is a lot of anger about Washington today, and the public opinion approval rating is somewhere between 8 and 11%. And if Lisa Murkowski can do it in Alaska, it shows it can be done. And that's why I wrote the book. And you say you commented that extremism is not a sufficient word. Well, it's not. You can't call a cannibal extreme. Cannibal that eats his young and eats other people. And that's what they're doing. They're absolutely devouring senators. So you can't speak in strong enough terms about it. And I go behind the scenes and tell a lot about what's happening. Can't obviously cover it in the course of an interview.
Absolutely not. I do wonder, though, if you, again, back to how much of it was a political need to become a Democrat and how much of it was that your party left you?
Well, there is no doubt about the tremendous shift in the party. You hear all the time that Goldwater couldn't win a primary in today's climate. You see what's happening to Dick Lugar. You saw what happened to Bennett or Mike Castle in Delaware, lost to a Tea Party candidate who had to defend herself against being a witch. I was always independent, Joe. in my votes, led the fight against Bork to defeat him for the Supreme Court, had a lot of difficulties and differences with the Republican Party. When I cast that vote on the stimulus package, Joe, there was no way I could win a Republican primary. Before that, Toomey had announced he was running for governor, and I had clear sailing. But I cast that stimulus vote because I thought otherwise, if we didn't have it, we'd have a depression. And I wanted to stay in the Senate to continue to work on NIH and projects in the Supreme Court, which I did a lot on the Judiciary Committee. And I wasn't far enough left for the Democrats, and I wasn't far enough right for the Republicans, because some few people voted in that Democratic primary, just as they don't really participate in primaries generally.
That process of leaving the Republican Party, becoming a Democrat, how surprising was that to not only your constituents, but to your colleagues on the Hill? And to, because I assume you Democrats, some will embrace you, some won't. And as for Republicans, some will understand and some won't.
Well, Joe Biden and I rode the train for the better part of 30 years. And Joe had been constantly pleading with me to become a Democrat, saying that I really voted with the Democrats, which I did when I thought they were right. Governor Ed Rendell in Pennsylvania, a guy I gave his first job to out of law school when I was DA, made him an assistant DA, had been urging me to become a Democrat. So that people knew of my independence. They also knew, Joe, that in my background, I had been a Democrat in my early days, inherited my politics from my father, who was an immigrant and was really very concerned about government since he lived under the Tsar's heel and came to America, loved America. I was an assistant DA, won some big cases, and wanted to run for district attorney on the Democratic ticket. And the Democratic boss, Philadelphia, had a boss, a political boss, said, we don't want an independent, honest district attorney. And the Republicans came to me. They hadn't won an election in a long time and said, run on our ticket. No strings attached. I ran on the Republican ticket, didn't even change my registration. I was a registered Democrat and worked hard and won, and then later decided to change registration in order to try to bring back the two-party system to Philadelphia. You need a two-party system. So if you take my background, people always knew that I placed independence and conscience above party loyalty. So I don't think it was too much of a shocker, the change.
The last time you were on the show was to talk about your best-selling book, Never Give In, which talked about your battle with cancer and beating Hodgkin's disease. How are you feeling these days?
I feel good, Joe. Played squash yesterday. We're going to play a little later today. Get a lot of exercise. You don't hear any sluggishness in my voice, do you?
Not at all. No, you seem like you're on fire.
Well, I'm energized. We're talking about a subject that means a lot to me. And I appreciate the opportunity to reach your listeners. And I think the key question is the one you raised, Joe. Is it possible for America to do what Lisa Murkowski got done in Alaska? And I say it is if people are sufficiently informed and motivated, and my book can do that for them.
The book is Life Among the Cannibals, A Political Career, A Tea Party Uprising, and The End of Governing as We Know It. It is published by St. Martin's Press, Thomas Dunn Books. Senator Arlen Specter, a great pleasure. Thank you very much, as always,
great
for spending
talking,
time.
Joe. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Life Among the Cannibals, A Political Career, A Tea Party Uprising, and The End of Governing as We Know It, published by Thomas Dunn Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.